Too Deadly, going to jump straight in, have a deadly yarn there with our beautiful sister, Vanessa Lee Armat, social epidemiologist, and I broke my jaw trying to pronounce that, a beautiful profession. Recognising the importance of First Nations culture and health and healing past culture and economic injustice. So come to join me, my beautiful sister Vanessa. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm deadly. Thank you.
Of course you're deadly. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, sissy.
My people are from Yulpungati and in Cape York and Miriam or Murray Island in the Torres Strait.
Yes, beautiful footprints. So look, you wear many hats. We talk about social epidemiologist and cultural broker and a senior decision maker. So enlighten us, please, about these hats that you wear and how it empowers you to operate in and looking after our mob going into the future, sister.
Okay, so as a social epidemiologist, I look at behavioural patterns and I used to do it a lot in data and then help translate it into policy and government policy as well as community policy and working with the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services.
Mm. You were doing that way in Sydney?
Yes, I've done that for a good 18 years of my life.
Okay. You decided to come home with your profession?
I did.
Good. And continue.
Yeah, and I was yarning to one of my friends, and she said to me, "It's about transference. It's about skills transference. How do we now bring our skill set into where we live with our community?" And I sat with that for a while, and and I thought, right, how do we do that? And when I left Sydney last year, I came home to look after my parents. I've got aging parents.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what? I don't want to take a chance and go back to Sydney and someone passes away and I spend all day travelling trying to come home. Yes, how do I bring my skill set home? And so that brings me into cultural brokering.
Cultural brokering.
Yes.
Yep.
And that senior decision-making role is part of what I've already sort of accomplished in my career as a social epidemiologist.
Mm.
And I sort of sat back and looked at it and went, well, you know what, I do a lot of negotiating discussions. I also do business plans. I also know how to look at data sets and I know how to, like, translate that into policy.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, was cultural brokering. But many years ago, my grandmother actually said to me back in 2004 or 2003. Mm. She said to me, we're listening to the radio and how the government was actually, you know, not supporting our families and our kids. And my grandmother actually said to me in the Torres Strait, she said, go and teach them our culture before they kill our children.
Whoa. That's deep.
Yeah.
Deep message.
It was a
elder speaking. The wise ones.
Yep. And I remember saying to her, I've got cousins that don't work. I got a job. She said, no, go.
Professional. Mm. Your grandmother is a professor.
Yes.
With that statement.
Yes.
Virtually like a little bitch slap to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Think you arrived. No.
No.
But you're open-minded, you're student for life, and you learn from your elder.
Mm.
And now you're running with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting how it opens so many more doors and cultural doors. Because, you know, I was up in Mur on Murray Island.
Yeah.
And my dad passed away recently, so I went home for healing.
Condolences, darling.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. It's all good. It was the most beautiful thing was stepping on your own country.
Mm.
And, you know, feeling that aspect of just, I'm home.
Mm.
And then I've also, in that time, I've also gone up to my family up in Cape York.
Yes.
And the same thing. And that whole feeling of, okay, I know what to do. I'm home.
You know where you are where you need to be. Mm.
Exactly. Mm. And you start seeing things differently.
Yes.
And that brings us, and that helped me bring it all together. And so I started creating, started having these discussions back in last year with my colleagues, my business partners, Bibi Barber and Lydia Miller.
Big shout out, sisters.
Yes, big shout out to my sisters. And about developing a cultural embassy, and which is about putting our culture into digital technologies.
Mm.
And, like, you know, because that's with as a social epidemiologist, I'm used to working with digital.
Sure.
With data.
Sure.
So it's that skills transference.
Sure.
You know, and bringing it back and saying, okay, what can I do?
The first people should be on that platform.
Ah.
21st you know, century.
Exactly. We shouldn't
60,000 years old.
We shouldn't wait 250 years to play catch up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's bitch slapping.
Yeah, thank you. That is. Yeah, with capital B.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of going back home to Murray Island.
Mm.
So I did two things. I was sitting down with the old people and I showed them my genealogy papers that I got done many, many years ago with a genealogy department from science department from La Trobe University.
Mm.
And it identified my mother, it did my bloodline, but only my mother's lines going back.
Yep.
And it went back 45,000 years for Cape York and the Torres Strait.
Oh, yes.
You know? That.
Powerful.
Right there.
Yeah.
You know? And like, that's science. Mm. That's not ancestry.com.
No.
This is science. Thank this is you. A real science.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I remember sitting there and showing it to them.
Murray got goosebumps here.
They sat there like the song, the elders, and the next minute, you know, like that conversation, like, and the couple of days later, I said to them, you know, I'm doing this thing in the blockchain.
Mm.
And I explained to them, like, you know, I want to bring the culture into the blockchain. And they were like, what is that? You know, like, and I'm explaining it, you know, it's digital technologies. We bring our culture into the digital technology world because we already have. We already, you know, you think about it, we already have that connection to the spiritual world.
Mm.
The Age of Reason made basically brought science and maths into the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now combined both because we've been here longer than 60-odd thousand plus years.
Yes.
And so as we come out the other side, it's like, well, now we're doing this digital technology and creating this Web3. And how do we now preserve our cultural rights so that it's not stolen here as well?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there was a silence amongst the elders. And, you know, that silence was for me to go for a walk and let them all think about it.
Sure.
Now, when I came back, the first question they asked me, they didn't say to me like, oh, Vanessa, you know, how does this work? What do we do? Da, 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 da. There's nothing like that.
No.
Their very first question was, how do we maintain intellectual property?
Mm.
That right there tells you how evolving our culture is.
Yes. And also the permission in that question for you to go ahead.
Yeah, right there.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was the steps are huge in that space.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's something I really wanted to share with people. And if they wanted more information, they can reach out to us.
Yes.
We've nearly finalised the webpage.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're nearly but we're at the same time, you know how these things happen really fast when the ancestors make a decision. Like, they're not waiting for us to finalise the webpage. They've already made the decision. So we're going to be talking to the UK on a panel very soon. Mm. You know, we're doing all of these things globally.
Yes.
Talking about what we've done,
yes,
and what we're doing.
Do you know of any other First Nation peoples on the globe who've done this?
I know people that are working with non-Indigenous people.
Yes,
but I don't know anybody that's three Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people, women that have stepped up to do this.
Sure, but there's no platform there for like American Indians, for example, any First Nation people on the globe.
There is a there's not a platform for. So no Indigenous, like, so let me say it like this. So we're the first Indigenous owned, okay? But there have been countries that have stepped up as a whole. So like El Salvador, like Barbados.
Okay. Yes.
And they've created they're turning their whole currency into, say, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Which is all part of the blockchain.
Okay.
And the thing about the whole blockchain is it is decentralized.
Mm.
And what it means is, like, in that decentralized So we already come from a decentralized culture.
Mm, yes.
Okay, so we're already a step ahead of the game because we already know how that all works.
Mm, exactly.
The other thing about the whole blockchain and everything is that it's also about creating a ledger.
Mm.
And this is a ledger that makes it transparent in the way financial dealings are done.
So this is a platform to nurture, protect our culture, but also financial vehicle.
Exactly.
What I'm picking up.
It becomes
Vanessa.
An economic empowerment.
Yes.
On a big scale.
Whoa.
Yes.
Well, I've always said we are rich being black.
Oh.
We just got to get our skin in the game. We've got to get proactive in the different avenues that are out there. Yeah, using our culture as the vehicle.
And being clever about it.
Being clever about it,
yeah,
yes.
Don't give it away. We see too many people giving it away.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Rapage and pillage in the cultural sense.
Exactly.
In the knowledge.
They think they're deadly and you're like, no, you just gave our culture.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's one thing to turn around and say, I'm going to be the cultural person working for Google.
But, sure.
Giving back to you?
Well, exactly. It's a two-way street sort of
exactly.
thing, you know.
Exactly.
But with respect to our First Nation people who are operating in our space, with respect to them, but some of them are running naive. Yeah, the intentions are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, heart and spirit is all good, but the knowledge of how the so-called system works in the white man world, naive to it.
Exactly. You know? And I think also we've been had so much colonization, 250 years of colonization.
Mm. Hello.
Yeah, so, and there's 25 years in a generation.
Mm. And the non-Indigenous people have been trained for the last 250 years how to rapage and pillage.
Exactly.
Their mob.
Exactly.
You know, and talk forked tongue.
Exactly.
To get what they want, to make their billions.
And that fork turns into a knife.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
Yeah.
This is powerful, my sister. And so there's three of you in the team, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Lydia and...
Lydia Miller, Bibi Barber and myself.
Okay, lovely. And, this is not a woman's group.
No.
They just happen to be there. More power to you, girls.
The thing is, like, you know, we are all intelligent and talented
just
women.
Just happen to be females.
That's
and
right.
Girls can do anything, but more power to you. But male, I'm getting excited here.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
But it's the thing is, like, our team, we've also got Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men.
Yeah, beautiful, yes.
You know, as attachés.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. So creating this, how far are we away from this becoming reality, so to speak, or where you at with it? And how do the grassroots people get involved? And are we talking about your cultural people, your tribal people, or is this across the nation for all First Nation people, all 250-odd tribes?
Yeah. All across the nation.
We can template it.
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing you should always do, I believe, is go home to your own people and ask them what they think. So that's why I went home to Mer.
Yeah, good.
You know, and I asked them because it's, you know, my grandmother came from Murray Island, from Mer, and it was the culture I was raised in.
Yes.
And when I came to the mainland, we were raised in our Aboriginal culture, which I'm so grateful for because having the balance of both worlds.
Exactly.
And so, and that is the importance here, is to bring that balance together. But it's we've got 250 nations.
Sure, exactly.
And we want to make sure that we get this right. So we're working with lawyers.
Okay.
We're making sure that, and we're working with IP lawyers, and we're working, you know, and some of the lawyers have said to us, you know, like, we'll work pro bono for you if you'll come and work pro bono for us, Vanessa. And, you know, as a social epidemiologist, like, okay, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
What do you want? Let's
do it. There's the two-way street.
Yep.
Not taking something from me,
exactly.
But I'm taking something from you too.
No, it's reciprocity.
Yes,
we give it back to our people all the time.
Reciprocity, yes.
And the other thing about, when we talk about giving back, the other thing I wanted to yarn about, in my hat as a cultural broker, because I've also got another company or project that I've set up, it's a project called Gub Sagir.
Gub Sagir, and explain.
Well, Gub Sagir is like the northeast wind.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what it means. And, you know, the northeast wind, as we all know, is that beautiful, calm wind that just brings with it...
life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a beautiful wind. And in
oh, my God, goosebumps.
Yeah, and in parts
of... on my goosebumps.
on top of goosebumps. and throughout Asia, it's the same meaning. It's the wind of good fortune.
Yes.
Yeah.
So can First Nation people invest in this concept? How's that work?
So what we're doing with Gubsager is that we're so my colleagues and I'm working with some Chinese Australian investors, and what we're doing is we've been talking to the Torres Strait, and we're just discussing about how we can actually create projects that enhance sovereignty.
Yeah.
So we're not doing the whole thing of rape and pillage. We're actually standing there and saying, well, what do you guys want? How can we meet you halfway? You know, if you've got the land, we don't want to buy the land. How do we lease the land so that you continuously get rent?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Royalty income.
Well, for 99
exactly,
years.
Exactly, yes.
So, and that money can go into a community centre or a gym or, or solar panels for all the houses.
And if we're talking about the land that's been taken away from us, the Australian government, the Commonwealth, cannot afford to pay back what they owe black people. And if we're talking interest, well, it's way out of the ballpark. So here's the clean slate in the regard to the decision we make for moving forward, and here's the rules of engagement.
Exactly, and we need to change the economic model.
Yeah.
Because all too often our people go, I've got the land, oh, we need the money, and they sell it. And it's like, no, stop.
No, stop. Exactly.
We own the land.
Yeah.
Now we're going to rent it to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And we are still the landowners and the landlords of our land.
Yes.
And anything you build on that, you need to check in with us. Because it's like a rental. If you rent a house, you can't go around and dig a hole.
No. Get permission.
You've got to get permission.
Exactly.
You can't just go and hang a painting on the wall.
You can't extend the garage.
No. You can't put stairs coming down because you just want to.
That's right.
You can't dig a hole for a pool.
You can't be big note in your crack.
That's
you know,
exactly
without
right.
asking for permission.
And that's what I'm trying to build in here.
Oh, deadly.
So we have a new economic model
deadly.
Where we have sovereign rights. We empower our people.
Deadly. Fantastic. And you look at your profession, social immunologist, and working down in Sydney, not so much for First Nation organisation, just for mainstream all your life, yeah?
No. So
universities?
I worked for University of Sydney.
Okay, sure.
I was at University of Queensland, then Griffith Uni, and then University of Sydney. Prior to that, I was at Education Queensland. But as a social epidemiologist for the last 18 years, but my focus was on Indigenous health. That was my major.
Sure.
Everything I did was in line with the community controlled. I did my whole PhD focused on the Aboriginal community controlled and how they actually balanced our kinship.
Sure, beautiful. Yep.
And so that's what I knew I couldn't do anything with data or technology unless I could balance kinship.
But with that professional vehicle, the JOB that you were doing for universities, you're just taking your profession for your people now.
Yes,
and
more so.
As the vehicle, so to speak.
Exactly.
Which is empowering not only to you as an individual, but for your mob.
Exactly.
For
all our mobs. Yeah.
This is too deadly, my sister. So how far are we out from it? I mean, that's the question. I mean, you're getting a web page set up.
Yes, I've
then
got.
Then where from there? What,
so I've already had the, with Gubsager, I've already sent a business plan to the Torres Strait.
Yes.
To traditional, I went and spoke to traditional landowners first.
Yes.
Because I, you know, too many times everybody goes and speaks to government or the leaders on the land and no one talks to traditional landowners.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
So I've gone from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And that's not that the decision is now with them.
Yeah.
So that's out of my hands now. So
and if they say no, what's plan B?
Well, I will find other avenues.
Sure, exactly. But respecting the decision from the elders.
Of course.
Yes.
But see, I also am going to talk to the tradition. Like I've spoken to the traditional landowners, and I went home to my own people first, and like I waited to hear what they would say. And when they said to me, yeah, go on, we want to do this.
Yeah.
So I've already got traditional landowner support.
Yeah.
So if the people in council or in government say no, then I'm being transparent. It's not me that's holding it up. It's the government. It's their own. It goes back to that conversation.
Exactly.
Our people, you know,
Rubbish
being ignorant.
Yeah. And arrogant. Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And not thinking about the people at the grassroots.
We're going to have more yarns about this, my sister. You've been on this program a couple of times now that you've come home. Do utilise this program. This is a very important vehicle that you're building here, and we want to be part of that conversation to educate our mob and, like I said, template across this country, if not globally, for all First Nation people.
Exactly.
The rape and pillage to all First Nation people on this globe is horrendous.
Exactly.
It needs to stop.
It needs to stop.
In the 21st century.
That's right.
Exactly.
Are You Okay needs to be more than just a physical presence.
Thank you. We are You Okay? And a big shout out to all our beautiful people out there. Are You Okay? That's the question you need to ask as well. But this is a beautiful yarn here with Sister Vanessa Lee Armat, social epidemiologist, and a beautiful platform vehicle that she's building. And we'll be yarning more. But thank you for the yarn, my sister. And we'll talk soon, eh?
Yes. Thank you all.
All right. Too deadly. Oh, two beautiful, beautiful yarn there. Look out for an educated black person. And there's one in the studio right now. Not talking about the bully one. I'm talking about the beautiful lady across from me. That's Vanessa Lee Armat. Have you saying yarn up strong here, National Talk Black.